Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is P.F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 11, and we are at page 159, the last paragraph. These readers are Deb W., Michelle H., and Anita L. The reference number for yesterday, September 16th, is 6883. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who...
To repeat it, I missed it. The number for yesterday.
6883. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovered from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary H. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do the service.
I will now ask Berta F. to read the 12 traditions.
Yes, this is Berta, recovered in Illinois. These are the OA 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the principal foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 159, beginning at the last paragraph. I will ask Deb W. to begin reading.
Hi, everyone. This is Deb W., Oklahoma, recovered compulsive eater. I'm assuming you can hear me.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. A year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with 7 more. Seeing much of each other, scarce an evening passed that someone's home did not shelter a little gathering of men and women, happy in their release and constantly thinking how they might present their discoveries to some newcomer. In addition to these casual get-togethers, it became customary to set apart one night a week for a meeting to be attended by everyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. Aside from fellowship and sociability, the prime object was to provide a time and place where new people might bring their problems. And so, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking this is what we do. This is what we're doing. This is what we do when we listen to the meetings, when we have share our solution and our experience, when we come together with people after the meetings and sponsor or guide them, we are providing a time and a place that everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. And that's what this program is. It's not a diet. It's not how do you figure out how to put food down and lose weight. That's why I came into the program. I came in because I wanted to lose weight, and I found out that there was so much more here. Had I known what all the much more was, I'm not real sure I would have come in at one time. And that was back in 89. But I found so much more. And when I came back in about a couple of years ago to Vision for You, I came running for a solution because I knew the solution was here. And when I came in 89, there wasn't OA literature. So I came in with the Big Book, and I knew that I came in and recovered immediately. So I knew the answer to my dilemma was here. But the deal of it is that we can't, the problem is not so much the food. The problem is the need for the connection to a higher power, to a God of our understanding. And this this is the roadmap to that. And, this is the answer to the problems that, you know, seem like somebody My best friend can tell me a solution, or I can try to control and white knuckle it, and I can't. I don't know how to live life. So that's why I need this program, and that's why I'm so grateful to, for the people that have gone before me. If I can just have as a little faith and a little belief in their recovery, the recovery that I see in them, then I too can have, it's not magic, well it is kind of magic, but it's not anything that's unattainable by any of us, but we have to have the willingness to, one, put the food down and to seek spiritual help, to live life on a spiritual basis. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb W. Okay, who would like to share on what was read?
This is Janice M.
Janice M. Go ahead.
Thank you, Katie. And good morning to everyone. My name is Janice M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this is history. And history is repeating itself today. You know, 2 years ago, I was quite aware of the Vision for You, which is a group that studies the Big Book, started. I'm not sure of the number, but it was around 50, let's say. And if we look at it 2 years later, what is it? It's over 270. So you see, something is going on here in this group, and we're here every day to study and to listen to the teachings of the Program of Recovery and the Big Book. That's our purpose. That's the purpose. And you see, there has to be a higher power here because of the increase. Only my higher power, whom I choose to call God, gives increase because it's good. And, you know, when it says we're happy in our release, that, you know, some people might say, oh, she's so excited. She's so excited. She sounds like she's preaching. But, you know, we don't preach. You know, it may sound like we're preaching, but we're so excited and happy and joyful that we have the answer, the solution, so that we can help somebody. And, you know, to the wives, the chapter on the wives, they wrote on page 121, yeah, we realize that we've been giving you much direction and advice. You know, it may seem like we're lecturing, but we're not. We're just so ecstatic that we have a solution and we just want to be helpful. And that's what I see on a daily basis in this group. So we are, history repeats itself, and we are a part of that history right here. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice M. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Yeah,
Kim?
Could I say
Larry?
Okay, Kim, someone else, and then Larry.
I asked for the page number.
159 over to 160.
Thank you.
Okay, Kim, and then Larry. Was there anyone else I missed?
Sarah W.
Sarah W. Okay, Kim, thanks.
Thanks, Katie. My name is Kim G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I'm going to pick up on this line, the little gathering of men and women happy in their release and constantly thinking how they might present their discovery to some newcomer. You know, happy in their release. I think it's so essential that we understand what are we being released from. You know, for most of my life, and then even unfortunately in OA for many years, I thought food and weight was my problem. That's what I wanted the release from. If I could only lose weight, life would be perfect. You know, and if food was really my problem, then the hundreds of times I had gotten abstinent, life would have been okay, and it never was. If weight was really my problem, then the dozens of times that I got to goal weight, everything would have been okay. So that's not what I need release from. I've had those happen, and I'm still being tortured by restless, by irritable, by discontent. So what am I being released from? What does it mean to be a compulsive overeater? You know, when Dr. Silkworth says in this statement, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as normal as his mind. So as a compulsive overeater, I understand what it means. I've suffered from that alcoholic torture, that I have this allergy of the body that is never going to change, that I have an abnormal, exaggerated reaction when I eat certain substances. When I used to beat myself up because I didn't have the willpower that my friends had to have one slice of cake at their pet birthday parties, what I didn't realize is they don't have willpower. They don't want anymore. The same way when I'm really thirsty on a very hot day in the summer and I pour myself a large glass of water and I drink half of it because I'm no longer thirsty after half a cup, that's how they feel when they're having a slice of cake. I have an abnormal reaction that will never, ever change. Anytime I ingest those substances, my body is mandated to want more and more and more. And in and of itself, that's a bad problem. But my larger problem is I have this obsession of the mind. I have this mind that locks in on the idea that the only way I'm going to feel right is by taking that first bite. That I am restless, that I am irritable, that I am discontent. When I am abstinent, I don't come to OA because of the allergy. I come to OA because I can't get comfortable abstinent, and that is the release I need. Because if I get released from getting a connection with a higher power by actively working these steps, what's going to happen? What's the miracle of Overeaters Anonymous? The miracle of these 12 steps in OA is I am no longer going to want my binge foods. And if I don't want my binge foods, I'm not going to pick up my binge foods. And if I don't pick up my binge foods, I'm not going to trigger the allergy. And if I don't trigger the allergy, I won't be in that alcoholic torture that the doctor's opinion describes so beautifully. So one more time, this little gathering of men, happy women, happy in their release. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Larry, you're next.
Thanks, Katie. Larry from Chicago, recovered compulsive overeater. It talks a little bit about, at the end of the paragraph, you know, about anyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. And I know that I didn't arrive here interested in a spiritual way of life. I can tell you that. Maybe some of you did, but I did not. You know, this spiritual way of life, though, I came to learn over time. It took me some time, but I came to learn that the spiritual way of life offers hope. You know, and I learned that if I wanted what I saw in others, you know, I had to be willing to do precisely what they did. And it's kind of interesting to me because a vision, you know, what is a vision? You know, a vision is, it's beyond sight. You know, a vision is the ability to see something that you can imagine. You know, it's really a picture that you begin to see in your mind. You know, perhaps we can say it's something that we aspire to experience. And I did. I aspired to experience this thing that I saw in you, and I wasn't sure that it was real. I wasn't sure that it was real until it happened to me. You know, once it happened to me, now I know it's real. So, sure, with passion, I share with others. And we read here, one by one, these men experienced a spiritual transformation that they could hardly have imagined. You know, they tapped into a power source that solved the drink problem for them. I mean, you know, would they pass it on? Of course they would. You know, not just because we're called to do that, you know, to remain in fit spiritual condition, but you know, if you were drowning, you know, and you were given a life preserver and saved, couldn't save yourself, you know, you're going to be changed. That's what happened to me. I was changed. You know, this spiritual life is not a theory. I have to live it. You know, faith without works is dead. So, you know, we have an entire absence of profit motive. You know, we have a community spirit. We get together every morning here. I don't know what you look like. You know, I hear some voices. I like what I hear generally, right? And it supports me. You know, it supports me on this journey. And so, you know, this vision that I used to think, boy, would I really like what what I heard and what I saw in others, you know, and what is all this laughter in meetings, you know, that I go to a meeting Saturday mornings, these AA, mostly men, it's kind of flipped here. I don't know what I'm doing here, right, but I love all you guys. But I go to this meeting and there's all this laughter. What's there to laugh about? These guys have been saved, you know. I've been taken from the scrap heap and brought to a life better than I could have imagined, that I could have visioned. You know, and so of course I'm going to bring it to others, and I'm very grateful. This program saved my life, and with that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. Sarah W., you're next.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, in talking about happiness, you know, I didn't know happiness at all. Either I was euphoric because I was, for momentary measures, in the food and no longer had feelings of sadness and I didn't have to think or feel pain, or else I was in the dark dungeon of being, you know, miserable and alone and isolated. And on page 133, it says, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it once was just that for many of us, one of my very favorite parts of the book. And I think so many of us don't feel that we deserve the happiness that this can bring. And, you know, most of us come in here and we don't know where else to turn. You know, many people say it's the last house on the block. And I think for most of us, it really is. You know, most of us have tried all kinds of diets and all kinds of remedies and controlling the food and, you know, restricting and, you know, exercise and bulimia and anorexia, and it's the insanity of all that. And, you know, we come in pretty bloodied up, feeling like we're undeserving. And today, you know, I really believe what that says, that really God does want us to be happy, joyous, and free. And I remember when I first came into this meeting and I heard the word recovered, because I had never heard that before, you know, and I attend other fellowships. And at first I was kind of startled, and then I realized after a while what it really is about. It's really about the idea that I am so grateful today that God has removed the insanity of this obsession from me, and that with that I have to share that, because that is my destiny. That is what God wants for me to do, that we should share what we've been given so freely. And it's not of myself. It's not because I've deserved it, because, you know, I was wretched. And, you know, I do believe that it is God's grace that brings us to this place and that anybody can recover. And many of us have had lots of relapses and lots of insanity regarding the food, and we do come through this with God's grace if we're willing to do the work. So I'm so grateful to be here today, and with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Okay, Bella, and Rekefet. I heard someone else. Rekefet?
Leah.
And Leah. Okay, Bella, Rekefet, and then Leah.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Yes, I heard so many shares about happy in their release, and I want to share about this sentence too. Happy in their release. Two such empowering words. I did so many times diet, and I lost so many times my weight, but I never was happy, and I never felt a release. The opposite, I always was anxious and nervous, and I always heard blaming and judging. I never was happy with what I did, because deep in my mind I knew, oh, I did it so many times. I know I cannot trust myself. I know that next time I will gain double and triple. and I wasn't happy, not at all. And not only this, that I always, with the extra physical weight that I put on, I also put extra emotional weight, because again and again I prove myself and to everybody else that you can trust me, I can do it. Most probably I don't have a willpower. And this is what I knew. I knew that I don't have a willpower. So I took upon me the extra weight, physical and emotional. And I couldn't be happy, not at all. I was connected to my ego, to my control, to my power. And here it's so beautiful that now in this paragraph they give me even the reason why I can be happy and released, because I am connected in a spiritual way of life. Yes, I am connected to a spiritual power, to a power higher than myself. Yes, now, thank you, God, I can accept and admit that I am human. I am human, and we all are human. I am not in competition when I am doing mistakes. I am not in competition with nobody when I am not perfect. I know this is the way God created me, and this is my new way of life. Yes, thank you, God, that with this I am happy. I don't have to feel embarrassed and ashamed and guilty when I am doing a mistake. Well, now I learned that I have an opportunity to choose. Yes, and it's all about one day at a time. I can choose to be better now than yesterday. I let myself to learn new things, because I don't know everything all the time. And this is my new way of life, my spiritual way of life. And with this, I can be happy and released. I don't have to carry on extra weight that nobody even asked me. Now I am connected to the higher power, to a power of love, acceptance, and respect. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Rakefet, you're next.
Thank you, Katie. This is Rakefet, recovered compulsive overeater from California. And what I got out of this paragraph, and actually also the previous paragraph, is these men went to any length to recover. Bill stayed in Akron for 3 months before he went home. He stayed there so he could do spiritual work, that he could reach out to others. This was really hard work at the time, when nobody heard of AA, obviously, because it didn't exist yet. So approaching other people had to be really, really, really hard. And I would assume that most of them weren't interested. And then the men, these men that met almost every night, their life was their program, and they lived their life around the program. They lived their life around the program because they went to any lengths. They met almost every night, probably, and they made friends, and they reached out to what they had to do. And that's what has been different for me this time when I recovered. I embraced the program. I went to any lengths. I live my life now around my program. My program comes first before anything else. And people that knew me from other programs where I was miserable and in so much pain and trying and failing to get abstinent, they ask me, what's changed? What's changed? And I tell them, you have to go to any length. I had to go to any lane. And then I list for them what I do. I give them a list of everything I do. And there are people that thought they were doing everything. That people thought they were following the tools every day, that this was going to get them recovered. No, I had to reach out to God. And the way I reached out to God was by working these steps. That's how I reached out to God. And I'm just so grateful today that I see that, how important it is to go to any length to get recovered and to stay recovered. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Rakefet. Leah M.
Thanks so much, Katie, for your service. The statement popped out at me. Aside from fellowship and sociability, the prime object was to provide a time and place where new people might bring their problems. And, you know, it's just a reminder to me, you know, of the history that, you know, this was a place that, you know, spouses were coming also to learn what? To learn, you know, a spiritual way of life. You know, we have one solution. There might be almost 300 people on this line. We come from different, you know, different facets of the parts of the globe. You know, we have different situations going on in our personal lives. You know, I'm dealing with 12 kids, and I could use about $25,000 in the bank. But, you know, somebody might be divorced. Somebody else might be unemployed. Somebody else might have health issues. Another person might have sick children. Somebody else might be dealing with elderly parents. You know, we all have stuff going on. You know, however, we all have one solution. And, you know, that is the high mission that we all come together on, is that, you know, we're all agreed that the most important thing in our lives is the consciousness, the presence of God. And that was the basis for the development of AA, that the most important thing in their lives was the presence of God, the consciousness of God. Because the consciousness that created my problem of compulsive overeating could not be the same consciousness that solved my problem. I needed a higher mind. I needed a spirit-guided mind. And I got that through the 12 steps. And you know what? It worked. And it worked for these fellows back here, you know, in 1935. You know, unmanageability and all these things that some of us deal with in our lives is an internal condition, really. You know, unmanageability is an internal condition for someone like me, not an external condition, because external conditions never were a remedy for an internal condition called compulsive overeating. Because I was the biggest obstacle to my better world. It didn't matter what was going on. Things could be going great, and I still was digging my fists into a bag and a box in a car in a dark parking lot. Today, I need one solution, and that solution is the implementation of these steps and a relationship and a conscious contact with God. And why should that puzzle someone like me, that there's only one solution? I only had one solution when my solution was always binging my brains out. That was one solution no matter what was going on in my life. So today, you know, we gather together. We're not just rehashing our past. We have a purpose in mind when we gather together at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a camaraderie here. Our function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness when we hang up this phone and bid each other farewell. You know, the 12 steps are a design for living, and there are a set of principles that tell each and every one of us individually how we should live our own individual lives. And if we can live by these principles, we will be peaceful and content, and we will not find it necessary to pick up that first compulsive bite. We will be free from that that slaves us and makes our lives miserable, and that's the freedom that's offered here through the 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. Okay, I will ask for Michelle H. to please read the next paragraph.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning, everyone. Michelle H., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Outsiders became interested. One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. This couple has since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to the work. Many a distracted wife has visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women who knew her problem, to hear from the lips of their husbands what had happened to them, to be advised how her own wayward mate might be hospitalized and approached when next he stumbled. And so carrying the message, and the message is carried by recovered people who, like we hear on the line, like I found in the meetings when I came back to OA, who have recovered and who are not just thinking of themselves but thinking of others and wanting to share the message of hope, and that, as we've heard, that as we take these steps, as we put down the food and take these steps, we too have the hope of being recovered. And this program has a ripple effect. it carries out into the community, and even a larger community where it says outsiders became interested, and they played a role in offering their home as a meeting place for people who have this problem and who are affected by this problem. And it said, many a distracted wife. And the word distracted jumped out at me, and I needed to look it up, and it said troubled, disturbed, mentally confused, maddened, or deranged, especially by grief or anxiety, suffering conflicting emotions. And isn't that what this disease did to me and my loved ones? That's what distracted meant when this big book was written. And then to be able to have a place to come, to find loving and understanding people who knew her problem and who were there to offer a solution, and to hear exactly and get hope from other people who had traveled the same road, been distracted, been filled with grief and anxiety, had a life that was unmanageable, not knowing where to turn, and then here's a place, a safe haven, a safe harbor, a place to come where we can find the solution. And that's what's being carried, that's what's being asked of me, to play in this role that God has designed for me, to be a beacon of light, just to empty myself out and be that empty shell and let God's light shine through me and say, you know, I too have come exactly where you have come from. I too have been distracted. I too have been in mental anguish, not knowing which way to turn, looking for a solution. And people were there for me, and I too want to you know, be able to share this message that has transformed my life to becoming mentally anguished, not knowing what to do, being shared the solution of these steps, finding a higher power, learning to trust and rely on a higher power, and then become thinking less of myself and thinking more of others. That today is what makes me happy and brings me great joy. And it reminds me of page 124, and I'll end with this. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Paula. May I share?
Okay, Paula, go ahead.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your service today. This is Paula, recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. It says, outsiders became interested, and that they did. They were drawn. What is happening? And we go to the end of the book. Can I kind of bring forth some outsiders, not just the local neighbors, the local, more than that, the medical view on OA we have. We have in the back also psychiatrists. Everybody taking another look. Oh, you know, they would take the first look and they would stumble. But wait. Wait, what does it say here? One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. Well, boy, I fit in right there, don't I? Strangely assorted crowd. Who would think the names that come on this line, the states, the countries? Lord knows, strangely assorted crowd. But look at again what it says. This couple has since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to this work. They weren't even afflicted with this disease, but yet they saw the miracles. And oftentimes we in the rooms become almost apathetic of the miracles we see. And that's why we come. We continue to come. But you know what? It extends on, because look at what happened here. Not only the alcoholic, not only the person that suffers the disease, but the ones that are infected and affected. The distracted wife has visited this house to find what? Loving and understanding companionship among women who knew her problem. You see, even they carried the shame and the fear of tomorrow, not wanting to live in today. But I want to end with, scoot right on down to that line.
what had happened from the lips of their husbands, what had happened to them, to be advised. I noticed the word advised here. Huh. How her wayward mate might be a hospitalized approached when next he stumbled. Even there, hope given. Hope given, and even more. The miracles presented. I want to say thank you. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you. Paula, who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Kathy in Boston. May I share?
Okay, Kathy.
Thank
yes,
you.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Thanks for your service, Katie. This is Kathy Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph is so beautiful. It reminds me of my very first experiences in the 12-step rooms 20 years ago. You know, coming in my early 40s, having been an agnostic all my life, I really almost never came to my second meeting. And even after my second meeting, I was reluctant to come to my third meeting. But I was so struck by what I heard. I heard my story. I heard individuals speaking with such hope about how they had solved the eating problem, and not just the eating problem, but all the other problems that they had in their lives as well. And that was a pretty compelling vision that I came to want for myself. So it was the hope and the expressions of the people in the room who made an outsider like me go beyond my own resistance and really listen and begin to open my heart to what was in front of me. It's why our community is just so important. It's why when I give this phone number to a suffering compulsive overeater, I know that if they pick up the phone and dial in, they are going to hear words and statements that are so compelling, they will come back a second time and a third time. I am so grateful for the fact that when we gather, our primary purpose is to bring the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And in doing so, I strengthen my own spiritual resolve. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Sue G.
Okay, Sue G, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Thanks, everybody who's sharing and listening and present. This is Suji, recovered in Pennsylvania. So I love the beginning. Outsiders became interested. And it makes me think of the human condition that if we accept our humanity, and then we become part of the group. And so back to tradition two, for our group purposes, that one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group's conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. That really any gathering, and this gathering that's so wonderful in the large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd, that in any gathering where people are honest, open, and willing, at least some of them, a loving God can express himself in what's going on, in what is shared back and forth, which is the group conscience. That's what's shared honestly, openly, and willingly. And so there's the miracle happening in the community of the original fellowship, which includes outsiders who are interested. And we can go back to the appendix. I love the back of this book. And appendix 2 about this, spiritual experience with that wonderful ending. There is a principle, which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments and which cannot fail to keep a man or a woman in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation, Herbert Spencer. So here are these outsiders who become interested. Why? Because they're people. Oh, my God. We might have something interesting to share with others. And in fact, outsider, when I get outside myself, outside my disordered mind, and into what is the world holding here for me just for today in my recovery, I'm interested. Why, even my disease is fascinating. And our disease is fascinating. Take it from a disease maven. It is fascinating. It is multifaceted. It is as varied as each individual who has it. And the more we understand, the more we understand about people. So hang in there. The ride is joyful. The ride is wonderful. And do not fear that inventory. The inventory is what frees you. It is. Those are the change steps. Those are the work steps. But the wonder of it is we change. And when we change, our lives become just wondrous. And that doesn't mean free of pain. There's pain in life, all right. But we can deal with the pain in our recovery. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Okay, then I'm going to ask that Anita L. please read the next paragraph.
Hello, this is Rachel. I wanted to see if I have a chance to share on this last paragraph you read.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, here is another strangely assorted person. Another one of our wonderful, strangely assorted crowd named Rachel. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and everybody on the line. And you know, that expression, that this strangely assorted crowd, reminds me of an article that was written by a known authority on addiction, Dr. Rabbi Twersky from Pittsburgh, who is running the Gateway Hospital there. And he wrote about 55 books on these topics, but the one especially that is called Let Us Make Man, and there he speaks of the fact that our rooms are full of incredible people, talented, creative, special, very special, and he also ventured into saying why this is so. It's to give us free choice. A lot of these people that I meet in the rooms would have gone, really the sky is the limit, with talents and ability and creativity and heart and everything good that you could wish to have. And it's almost like God gave us something to weigh us down, because there are lots of sensitive souls that, like William James said, that need to be reborn, that being born just once into the simplicity of life, that many people are content about just being and going and shopping and eating and drinking and taking care of the children and the grandchildren. And somehow, for people who fall into these addictions, we strangely assorted crowd need the spiritual life. We can't be without it. And trying to live without it, hooking into all kinds of things that eventually are detrimental for us. But I'm so grateful that I found program and that I found you and that I'm part of this strangely assorted crowd that of very special people, and I can say these days with complete confidence that I am a grateful compulsive eater, because it has brought me, my compulsion brought me into this incredible crowd and into the spiritual life that is so, so much more than I could have ever dreamt of. So even if it took 30 years of being in OA and not understanding what this is all about, and having now almost 6 years of abstinence with recovery, I'm floored. with what God can do, which I could never do for myself. And I'm grateful for every step of the way. I don't regret any of it. Thank you for listening, and thank you for letting me share. And I pass, and God bless you all.
Thank you. Okay, would anyone else like to share on this paragraph before we move on? Okay, Anita L., will you please read the next paragraph?
Sure. Many a man, yet dazed from his hospital experience, has stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. Many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. He succumbed to that gay crowd inside, who laughed at their own misfortunes and understood his. Impressed by those who visited him at the hospital, he catapulted entirely when, later, in an upper room of this house, he heard the story of some man whose experience closely tallied with his own. The expression on the faces of the women, that indefinable something in the eyes of the men, the stimulating and electric atmosphere of the place, conspired to let him know that here was haven at last. Oh my gosh, this is just such an incredible paragraph. I was hoping that I would be able to share on it because it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. Here is what we are offered. You know, if we are willing to hang in there and be willing to change our way, if I'm willing to change my way of thinking, instead of being self-centered and always wanting for me first, now I put me either last or, you know, back in the line of fire here. Because my primary purpose, now that I'm recovered, now that God has granted me freedom from the obsession from food, which is totally amazing. I can't even explain to you how I was able to go on a cruise a couple weeks ago and have neutrality with food for 7 days and nights, 8 days and 7 nights. Incredible. Incredible. A miracle. And that is because I wanted, I was willing to go to every length, not just any length, every single length, and give of myself to work these steps so that I can become a recovered person and have a new, wonderful, fourth dimension type of life because of this program, because of just working this program like others did before me. And every single line in this paragraph explains just such a miracle. It says, many a man yet dazed, okay, so they're still dazed, they're still in their active disease, they're still yielding to their active disease from his hospital experience, has stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. And so, oh, my sister's here, I'm sorry, into freedom. And that is such a beautiful line. That is so beautiful. So for anyone who is still into the food, who still is dealing with making food their master, if you can just hang in there and be willing just for today to let it go, to call other people who are recovered, to do what they have done and get what they have gotten, it's so worth it. Thanks so much. Thank you, everybody on this line, and I pass. Thank you.
Hi, this is Naomi. Could I share?
Yes, Naomi, for a quick share.
I was just going to say it would be a quick share. Thank you. Hi,
this
is Naomi, recovered compulsive eater. I have to say I love the sentence where it says, "A stimulating electric atmosphere of this place conspired to let him know that here was heaven at last." Well, what I want to say is this is what Vision for You means to me. Because every morning I listen to it, and I hear a word that I do not hear in the regular OA meetings. It is the other meetings are so watered down that the truth and the honesty and the love and compassion and the recovery is in this book. And I hear it every single morning on this line. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the founders of this meeting that brought it together July 12th of 2012. And I thank you all because of you and because of this program and this book and this sentence. I'm happy, joyous, and free, and I am recovered. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. And unfortunately, we are out of time, but we will start with this paragraph tomorrow. So hang on. You can come back to it tomorrow morning. And so thank you to everyone who shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Deb W., are you available? How about Michelle H.?
Michelle H. here.
Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.